J1.
Number 11B.
We can then just come into the field of psychology, and this is the whole field of mind science, so to speak, where, of course, the accent is on consciousness. But this goes a little farther, actually. We get into the depth psychologists we know as Freud and Adler and Frankl and Jung, and we see that they say that all is a question of consciousness. But what's interesting about what these particular world thinkers are seeing is that they say that there are alternate states of consciousness. They not only say that all is consciousness, but they say that there are various levels of consciousness. And as we know, they say that there is the conscious level. This is what we are consciously conscious of. And then they say, well, that there is the subconscious level, and that subconscious level is just defined as that level where it's all our personal desires which we have suppressed. That subconscious level is just the level where we have had certain desires and ambitions and fears, and we've suppressed them. We've just kind of said, well, I'm not going to worry about that today, or I'll put that ambition away for a little while, or I'll put this desire back in away. See, we have suppressed certain desires, and they say this is the subconscious level of our personal desires, which are suppressed. But they say that our consciousness goes beyond just the subconscious realm. It goes into the unconscious realm, and this is the realm of all the universal false beliefs. This is the realm of all the beliefs that have ever been thought by man, which linger in our unconscious mind, that they're in every one of our minds. Whatever man has ever thought is in our mind, it's in our unconscious realm, and that this can spring up at any moment. And as we know, and we've gone over before, that they say, the psychologists, that 90% of all our reactions today are governed by the unconscious, that we can react, and that reaction could be something that has been lingering within the unconscious level, which comes up. So we know that there are many books then on psychology which are written about alternate stages of consciousness. There are also many books on philosophy now that are being written about alternate stages of consciousness, and the scientists begin to talk about various levels of consciousness, and the mystics have always talked about different levels of consciousness. And you know, we could just recommend such books as Carl Jung's book on depth psychology, or Hartman's books on philosophy, or Deschardin's book on philosophy. But there is a new book which has been reproduced in excerpt form in Psychology Today, a magazine. And I know we have it at home. The book which has been in excerpt form in the Psychology Today magazine is called The Natural Mind, and it's been written by an Andrew Weil. I believe he's a physician or a medical doctor. Now, the students at the art school where I teach are talking about this book. They're very much interested in it. And again, it's called The Natural Mind by Andrew Weil. Now, he, in this book, talks about alternate stages of consciousness, but he brings up this whole drug experience, and we know that this fact of alternate stages of consciousness has come into focus since the youth and others have started using drugs in a big way, so to speak, LSD, what have you. And these drugs showed that there were alternate stages of consciousness in man, that there were the possibilities that man could think in other stages of consciousness besides just the surface stage that we have here. It showed there were other possibilities. Now, what this book, The Natural Mind, is trying to bring out is that there are these other states of consciousness which are natural to man, and they do not need to be drug-induced. That this is something that is natural to man to have these various stages of consciousness. So, this is what we see. We see then that the world drops off its very heavy materialistic beliefs, and it drops off its belief that there are two opposing realities, such as mind and matter. And it comes in then to the accent of the fact that all is mind, or all is a question of consciousness. But then they see, as I said, that there are these alternate stages of consciousness. Now, what else has the world dropped off in a big, basic way as far as false beliefs go? Now, these are big, basic false beliefs that are going to affect our whole future, really, of mankind. Now, in the field of logic, the big, limited realm which they have broken out of is that they're thinking less and less in a dualistic way. They're thinking less and less with dualistic reasoning only. This doesn't mean that dualistic reasoning doesn't have its place in certain ways, but that they are thinking less and less in dualistic ways. Now, we know that the word dual is an adjective, and it means composed of two parts. And we know that dualism then views the world as consisting of two fundamental entities. So therefore, dualism views the world as being mind and matter, two fundamental entities. Now, the world drops more and more of this dualistic logic, which always must reason that there has to be two separate entities, you see. And the world more and more reasons in what we call a monistic reasoning. Instead of dualistic reasoning, they reason in a monistic reasoning. Now, monism is a term. It could also be pronounced monism. Now, monism is a metaphysical system in which reality is conceived as a unified whole. This is how the American Heritage Dictionary defines monism. It's a metaphysical system in which reality is conceived as a unified whole. It's the doctrine that there is only one kind of substance or ultimate reality. So you see, instead of dualism or dualistic reasoning, which says that there are two separate entities, this and this, monism or monistic reasoning says that there is only one type of substance. Therefore, dualistic reasoning would say there is mind and matter, and monistic reasoning then would very well, the logic of it will very well let the world say, well, then all is mind. So as this new type of reasoning, monistic reasoning, is used more and more, the world can very easily accept the fact that all is mind, because they've switched their accent on what they're reasoning with, you see. They reason now with a monistic logic. This all is mind will become very easy to understand. And then also in this question of reasoning and logic, we begin to see that the world thinks less and less in atomistic thinking. Now, these are big things. As the world drops these off, it just enables us to see more and more about identity. Now, as the world then begins not only to think less and less in dualistic terms, but it also thinks less and less than in atomistic terms. This means atomistic thinking, we know, it's always thinking in isolated parts, that everything exists as an isolated part separate from every other part. And therefore, we have to reason that there are isolated parts, then there is another isolated part, and that these one isolated part is in opposition to this other counterpart. And instead of isolated atomistic thinking we have in the world, the whole accent then on structural thinking. The whole accent now is to reason in terms of the whole and to see the interrelationship of all the parts within the whole. And this is probably one of the biggest breakthroughs we have today, is this type of reasoning, because it really is bringing us closer and closer, the world, to seeing what reality is. Now, structural thinking is beautiful, and it's showing up in all the fields, in all the books. And I would say the books that I've been picking up lately, this is the main accent. This is the big discovery that each of the fields are seeing. They're beginning to say, oh, gee, look, we can now think in structural terms, and now we don't have to think that all these things are isolated, but we think now in terms of the whole and the interrelation of all the parts within the whole. This throws a whole new light on things. Not only with structural thinking, we get dimensional thinking. And this therefore lets one see that within that great big whole being, there are various dimensions or various levels of consciousness. So this whole field of switch from dualistic reasoning into monistic reasoning, the switch from atomistic thinking into structural thinking has actually caused a reorientation within all the various disciplines in the world today. And it's affected everything, one could say, from physics and biology to all the behavioral and social sciences up to philosophy. Everything has been affected by this type of reasoning. Now, even at the university, we have new classes which have never appeared before. We have such classes as system science. We have system design, we have system analysis, we have system engineering. You see the accent on system, the studies of system. These are new classes that have appeared within the recent decade at the university. Because it happened, because we're beginning to think in terms of structure. And also this whole field of cybernetics is now being explored, which is just the field of structural thinking, systems and machines. Or this whole field of ecology, which is always reasoning in terms of the whole and the interrelationship of the whole. These are all new things that have popped up, new fields, because of our new way of thinking. Now, some of the structural books that we could read that emphasize structure would be one person in particular is von Bonfi, and he's really very excellent. All his books are excellent. One, of course, is General Systems Theory. Another, I believe it's called Mind, Men, and Robots, or Robots, Men, and Mind. I'm not quite sure right now how the order of that title is, but he is excellent as far as thinking in terms of structure and showing how the world and the various disciplines today are thinking in terms of structure. Another person would be Piaget, and his book on structuralism is an excellent book in order to find out how the world thinks in structural term. And of course, Kepesh's book on structure in art and in science. But these are just a few. The university bookstore is loaded with any types of books on structural thinking. So we see then, again, that dualistic reasoning, atomistic thinking has been overformed by structural thinking, dimensional thinking, monistic reasoning. And we see then that every field is on the brink of new discoveries because of this type of reasoning. So this helps us see then that these are the limited beliefs that the world drops away. So one just doesn't say that in a mystical way, well, we must separate from false beliefs in order that our true identity appears. We can always just go along and say, well, yes, in a personal way, I must separate from my false beliefs of fear and inadequacy in order for my true identity can appear. But we must always think in terms of the world and see, well, how the world separates from its false beliefs so that the whole universal identity can appear. So we know we always think in terms of the comprehensivist. What's so nice to see is that the world then obeys these laws of mind, spirit, soul. These are not nice little super symbols which we study just to amuse ourselves on Friday evening. These are laws, and the world must obey these laws. This is why the world separates, as I said, from their false beliefs. Now, this whole separation process, which occurs in order for your true identity to appear, is then symbolized by the term spirit or soul. These are just the symbols that we can use to talk about the separation process for our true identity to appear. And this then is symbolized totally by that statement, from sense to soul. That's just what that statement means, from sense to soul, to separate so your identity can appear. Now, we come to the next idea, which is on our list, about soul. And we come to that idea then of identity. And we can ask ourselves, well, what is true identity? Now, as we have seen, therefore, just in these last few minutes, that the various world thinkers reason in a monistic way. They reason then, in trying to find our true identity, that all is mind. So that they reason that all is consciousness. This is how the world now up to date states our true identity. They'll say that all is mind or all is consciousness. And they will say that that image is a product of the mind. The image which we see, energy, is a product of the mind. And they will say that all is consciousness, the image which we see is a product of a mind, and that there are then various states of consciousness. There is then the various alternate states of consciousness of the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious levels. We can say in a nutshell, that's what the world sees in a big way today. That's it, just in a nutshell. Now, what does the science of Christian Science teach as what is true identity? Now, as we have seen, the science of Christian Science teaches very similar, that all is mind, and that there is only one mind, and that this mind is the mind of all, and that this mind is our very own mind, and we all have the same mind. But all is mind. All is the divine mind. Now, science teaches then that within this realm of the one mind, there are various stages of consciousness. Now, I just want to repeat to myself just to set up the rhythm. It's not that we don't know it, and it's not that I'm telling you anything new, because we've gone over it now in this class many times. But you just repeat things in order to pick up the flow, in order to set your mind into where you want to go. So we just repeat for the sake of flow. We say then that all is mind, and that mind is our very own mind, and that there is only one mind. But within that realm of the one mind, there are various degrees of awareness. And these various degrees of awareness are the first degree of physical beliefs, the second degree of moral beliefs, and the third degree of spiritual understanding. So even though there is one mind, there are various degrees of awareness. There are physical beliefs, there are moral beliefs, and there are spiritual understanding within the realm of that one mind. And we know then that that first degree of physical beliefs is just given the term mortal mind. The second degree is just given the term human mind. And the third degree is just given the term divine mind. Even though there is just one mind, we use these terms mortal mind, human mind, and divine mind just to be able to talk, just to be able to say that there are various levels of consciousness, and therefore we must have these terms to indicate the various degrees that we're talking on. So as we know then, that first degree of physical beliefs constitute what we call the mortal mind, and that this degree of physical beliefs is diametrically opposed to that third degree of spiritual understanding, which we call the divine mind. Now we see this because it helps us see where the world is today. The world is discovering the truth about that first degree of physical beliefs. The world is discovering the truth about mortal mind. You see, the world today clearly is defining the realm of mortal mind. Now, what does this mean? You see, we've got to see the category that this appears in, that the world defines mortal mind. Therefore, when the world says that all is mind, and that that mind is made up of the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious beliefs, the world is just explaining mortal mind. It's explaining that all is mind, but it's made up of conscious beliefs, it's made up of unconscious personal suppressed fears, and it's made up, did I say unconscious or subconscious? Excuse me, let me start again, I lost my train of thought. The world says then that there is a conscious beliefs, which are fears which we have. There is the subconscious realm, which is all the suppressed fears and false beliefs that we have. And there's the unconscious realm of the universal false fears and beliefs. You see, it's talking about mortal mind. It's saying what mortal mind is. And this is what Carl Jung has done such an expert job in defining. He has gone into great detail, we know, in defining mortal mind. And he calls all these false beliefs of man, these original beliefs, he calls the original archetypes. He's gone in and shown what the original archetype beliefs are. So if one wants to really know mortal mind, one should read Carl Jung's books. And just instead of saying, well, all is mortal mind, which is fine, we can use it as a super symbol, but he goes in and really explains what mortal mind is in a very definite way. And he'll say, bring up all the beliefs that man has ever thought, and he says, now look, this is mind. Now, therefore, if we're interested in knowing more about mortal mind and these false beliefs or the original beliefs or archetypes that man has thought throughout all the ages which linger in our unconscious, we should read his books, and I recommend all of his books. But there's one in particular, a book entitled The Portable Jung. And this is a book by Joseph Campbell. And again, this book is called The Portable Jung, and it's a book by Joseph Campbell. Now, this is a wonderful little book because it appears in paperback form, and it's really a portable Jung. It has all of Jung's, a comprehensive selection, let's say, of Jung's works. They're all in this one little book, most of his main works. And this book has been written in order to follow the development of Jung's thinking. So if one just has time to read one of his books or on his concepts, this book on the portable Jung is very good because it gives a comprehensive account of his thinking. So do we see that this is where the world is? It very expertly begins to uncover and analyze mortal mind, or that first degree of false beliefs. Now, as the world thinkers then begins to open up and uncover and analyze false beliefs, well, they begin to see them as what they are, false limited thinking. So as the world then begins to break into this conscious, subconscious, and unconscious realm of limited thinking and false beliefs, then it all of a sudden begins to drop those limited beliefs away. And as it drops these limited beliefs away, it comes in then into the realms of true facts. And as it breaks into this realm of true facts and monistic reasoning and structural thinking and dimensional thinking, you see, the world then begins to break into the realm of true facts, and it begins to break in slowly into that realm of third degree or spiritual understanding, because this is the realm of true facts and divine ideas. So it's just a question of when we all will be in that realm of understanding.